This is Pretty Good Parents, sponsored by Mercy Kids. I'm Dr. Jack Hopkins.
And I'm Dr. Karen Hopkins, and we're pediatrician parents. We're here to learn together about our kids, most importantly, what makes kids special and wonderful, but also what makes raising them challenging for everyone.
And always remembering that it is okay not to be perfect parents. So welcome to a special episode of Pretty Good Parents. We spent the last 6 months or so exploring facts about our kids and conditions that impact their lives and their development. We've talked a lot about reasons why you might want to talk with your child's pediatrician for various conditions. But what if you need that help when it's not available? What if you need medicine for your child and you can't get it? So today we're going to talk about an issue that impacts families' ability to get medical care for their children and themselves. Tens of millions of families and at least half of the families in our practices need help to get insurance for themselves and their children. And today we're going to talk about the history of Medicaid insurance and how it started. We're both going to talk about the impact Medicaid has had on our practice of medicine. And we're going to talk about experiences with our families when they didn't have insurance and the impact of having it. And finally, we're going to pass on important information about obtaining insurance for yourselves and your children. So I think we need to start with a really basic question. What is Medicaid? Before Medicaid, and this is stuff that we didn't get taught in residency or medical school very well. Before Medicaid, there wasn't any organized assistance to families or the disabled who needed help with healthcare. Back in the 1960s and 1965, along with the Medicare program, they passed Medicaid, and it was designed specifically to help children and the disabled with health insurance. And it's a partnership. Unlike Medicare, which is strictly in the hands of the federal government, Medicaid is a partnership. And the federal government shares costs with individual states. And has seen lots of changes over the years, but continues and now is the main source of health care for disabled adults and the largest source of insurance for children. In the United States, one-third of kids in the United States. And as I said, a much larger percentage of kids in our practice in mid-Missouri. As of 2020, 37 million kids are on Medicaid insurance and 40 million adults have Medicaid insurance. So for those people, Medicaid is their health insurance. It provides doctor visits, hospitalizations, immunizations, and their medications. Something else that was added that is particularly meaningful for Dr. Karen and myself was the creation of the Children's Health Insurance Program called CHIP. That happened in 1997, and it allowed a much larger group of children to be involved in the Medicaid program. It literally brought millions of uninsured kids into the program. And also, Medicaid actually helps private insurers. Patients who are high-cost, high-risk patients, so those patients that cost the whole system of our insurance a lot of money, most of the time, those folks end up on Medicaid, and that saves private insurers money. Now, interestingly, the other big change that's happened is most Medicaid insurance is actually now handled through private insurers. That's much like Medicare. Most insurance...
Like through, Medicare Advantage.
Yeah. So Medicare itself, many people that have Medicare are really handled through a private insurer. I think the other thing that I want to mention about Medicaid is a substantial percentage of adults with their kids on Medicaid, and many even with themselves on Medicaid, actually work. These aren't folks that don't have jobs. These are hardworking families that depend on Medicaid for their primary source of healthcare. So now we're going to try an interesting exercise. Karen and I are going to maybe talk about where we started with our knowledge about Medicaid and talk a little bit about kind of our experiences with Medicaid, maybe both positive and negative, and some of the experiences that our patients have had with or without insurance. So, Karen, why don't you talk about where you started with your knowledge about Medicaid and maybe a little bit more about some of what you've seen with the changes in Medicaid?
Well, we started our careers as doctors in training at Arkansas Children's Hospital and the University of Arkansas for Medical Sciences. This was in the early 90s. So this was before CHIP passed. And one of the things about working in a big children's hospital is there is always a phenomenal team of people that help doctors take care of kids. And some of those people are social workers, and some of those people are case managers. And they did an outstanding job of helping families find ways to pay for healthcare, to the point that we really didn't even have to think about a patient's insurance. And in the early 90s, insurance was a little different. There weren't drug plans that patients were limited to only certain medications that were covered like there are now. So we just didn't have the worries about how a patient was going to afford their medications or equipment or their hospitalizations or doctor's visits. So we get out of residency in 1996 and we leave Arkansas and we move to Missouri. So we've gone from dealing with kids with Arkansas Medicaid, because it's a state program, to Missouri Medicaid, and every state is different. And we go from being at a big children's hospital to being rural healthcare providers, and it was very different. We had that first year of practice, patients with all sorts of payment sources, and then the next year was when CHIP passed. So all of a sudden, you know, we had patients that were coming in a lot. We were really, really busy because all of a sudden a lot of families had health care and they had deferred care for a long time. So a lot of these kids needed to like see the dentist or see an eye doctor, or maybe they might even need to see another specialist. And all of a sudden we were finding that in the rural areas, we were seeing kids, CHIP was helping us to be able to see kids and keep our offices open. But in the urban areas where the specialists were, not the same picture at all. Their reimbursements were still a lot lower. And we were finding that they were telling us, well, if it's a Medicaid patient, it's going to be 6 months before we can see them. And that felt really wrong to us.
I have very distinct memories of that early period in Lebanon as well. And actually, I remember very distinctly making that transition from Arkansas Children's to Missouri during that time before CHIP passed, because we had still a large group of patients that had Medicaid insurance, but then there was this subset of patients, pretty large subset, 10-20% of our patients who, you know, these are young children whose parents couldn't afford insurance for their kids, were making a little bit too much money to qualify for Medicaid, and they were barely keeping food on their table and a roof over their heads. And I have this very vivid memory of a child that came in, young child, that was having breathing difficulty and needed a nebulizer, needed a machine to give albuterol. Albuterol is a medicine that helps open the lungs up. And at the time, the child needed a nebulizer to treat them at home. And I remember being shocked by the fact that I couldn't get them one right away. It was horrifying to have this child in my office that couldn't breathe and being able to treat them in my office, but then having the family tell me they couldn't afford to pay for a nebulizer and they didn't have insurance for a nebulizer, let alone the medicine to go in it. And I know what we did. We lent them a nebulizer machine for a night or two and just In fact, early on in our practice, we had a lender nebulizer to go home with patients that couldn't get one. And so can you imagine that as a parent having your child desperately needing something to help them breathe and not being able to obtain it? And I remember then what a relief it was to have a large percentage of those kids. And then also, like you mentioned, even after that passed, because, and this has to do with Medicaid, especially in the first maybe 10 years of our practice, payments from Medicaid were really, really low. That wasn't true for all states, but particularly in the state of Missouri, payments from Medicaid were really low to the point where specialists couldn't keep the lights on if they saw too many Medicaid patients. In fact, even pediatricians and primary care doctors in larger urban areas couldn't keep their lights on. They couldn't survive.
Couldn't pay their staff.
Couldn't pay their staff if they saw larger than a certain percentage of Medicaid patients. So Medicaid patients, even at that point, would have insurance but wouldn't be able to find a doctor. And it was super frustrating to try to refer a child that needed to see a specialist, like you said, Karen, and they couldn't find somebody. Or you might get a call from the specialist and saying, well, we're not accepting Medicaid patients right now. So that was a huge, huge deal.
Right. So fast forward 20 years and the ACA passes and patients are starting to look into those exchanges about getting insurance. At that time, a lot of adults were finding when they applied for insurance through the exchanges that they actually did qualify for Medicaid. And I treat both adults and kids. And I had patients that had put off care for quite some time. In particular, I had a very sweet lady who had been getting by paying cash for what medications she could afford and had been told that she was diabetic, but had never been put on medications for it and had never really followed up with the testing. Diabetes is an expensive illness and it requires blood work every 3 months. When she finally got on an exchange, it turned out that she was in a pretty advanced state of diabetes. And in Missouri, there's something called spend down, where you turn in all of your medical receipts. And if your medical costs are over a certain amount, then that can help to qualify you for Medicaid. And she qualified to get on Medicaid. And because of that, I have been able to keep her diabetes under control. She has been able to be a babysitter to her grandkids, which have allowed her kids to work. So they're tax-paying, economy-building people. It has allowed her husband to have his own, to start his own business. And I think we've seen a lot of patients through the years that started a small business. And we live in kind of an industrial town. So people either work in a factory or they're generally small business owners. And if you're a small business owner, trying to afford insurance is very difficult. And Medicaid allows them to be able to start a business and be able to be employers.
A few years ago, I had a patient's parents that were trying to start a small business and they had to quit. And this was pre-ACA, I'm pretty sure. They had to basically give up on their dream of a small business because of a couple of health issues. And they realized they needed to get essentially a factory job, because that way they would get insurance. Otherwise, they literally wouldn't be able to survive. They needed to give up on their dream of having a small business and doing something really great for the community. Instead, they quit and worked line jobs, at an industry, because they needed the insurance for themselves. Something else I want to mention, because you mentioned, just it's other unseen costs for patients that I have seen surrounding that need for insurance. And I want to talk about teeth. Teeth was an extreme problem for decades for me and my kids that I take care of for pediatric patients. We're really finally starting to come out of that long dark tunnel where we didn't have adequate dentistry in our area for our patients because payments to dentists for dentists were very low, even on Medicaid through the state Medicaid plan. And also because there's a large percentage pre-CHIP that got behind with their dentistry, didn't have any, you know, dental care whatsoever. And so you have a group of kids that are a generational group of kids from preschoolers through high schoolers that had never seen a dentist before in their lives. And you can imagine the costs. I've had patients that missed weeks of school because of dental pain, because they couldn't get in to see a dentist. And then a lot of times parents have to miss work if their child's out because of dental pain. And it has really finally started to improve thanks to some other resources in our community, but also particularly because now we're getting good payments from Medicaid to cover the cost of dentistry for our kids. So kids as grade schoolers can get dentistry, but it's still quite a challenge. How about adults in dentistry, Karen?
It's a very major reason for people to miss days of work, and dental problems can contribute to heart disease. So a lot of dental problems can shorten your lifespan. One of the things that I want to make sure that we mention, through the years, I think we both have seen a number of kids who may have been either on their parents' insurance or they were on Medicaid. And when they turned 18 and started to go to college, they lost their insurance. How many kids have you had through the years that as they became adults ended up dropping out of college because of an ER visit? Not even a hospital admission, but just the bills over being in the emergency room for 6 hours.
Absolutely. I've seen kids that were not able to go to school for medical bills or, you know, continue their education over medical bills. And also because of deferred care, you know, you hit that point at 18 years of age and you lose your insurance. And so you have this. And we've seen a lot of that. We've got those kids that got the benefit of Medicaid insurance and they hit the age of 18 and all of a sudden their insurance is gone. And again, back to not being able to afford their inhaler or not being able to afford any other kind of chronic medication that they need. And then ending up in the emergency room with a bill of hundreds of dollars or even thousands of dollars.
Oh, tens of thousands of dollars. Sometimes.
Or unexpectedly admitted to the hospital because of deferred care, a care they couldn't get. So often, my perspective on lack of insurance for these kids and these young families, because a lot of times it even if the kids have insurance, you've got these young families where the parents don't have insurance, is failing to take care of those families is like failing to take care of your teeth. It's penny wise and pound foolish.
Well, and if we're talking economics, that ends up being a lot of lost wages and it's a lot of lost income potential. And if you're a state, it's a lot of lost tax revenue. So sometimes spending a little money on the state's part results in income to the state later on. You know, you're talking about young families, and I know that you just see kids, so you see the newborn babies, but you don't take care of the moms. Now, Missouri's got a pretty good program for providing Medicaid for moms while they're pregnant, and that does cover their comprehensive obstetrical care. But if a mom has some complications during her pregnancy that are going to be ongoing complications, say that mom had high blood pressure during her pregnancy, and it doesn't go away afterwards, 6 weeks after she has her baby, she's losing her Medicaid, and then she's faced with affording a lot of extra doctor bills for her medical care and the medications and not having a way to pay for it, plus having a baby that you're trying to figure out, you know, maybe you thought you were going to be able to stay at home with your baby, but now you're having to try to get a job and find a babysitter for your baby. And we talk about mental health care. If your baby blues turn into postpartum depression, then you're having trouble finding treatment for that. One of the positives that I have seen with not just kids, but even adults that have been able to get on Medicaid is that they can get those mental health care issues addressed because it's covered. We know that there aren't enough mental health care resources. So, you know, again, like you were talking about preventative dental care, being able to treat a problem, a depression early, is life-saving. For adults that are on Medicaid, that have been able to get on Medicaid, that also covers important things as we get into older adults, like you and I are. That covers things like colon cancer screening and breast cancer screening for those lower income adults. And it's just as important that they get screened as the higher income adults do, because again, it all allows, besides just the right thing to do of preventing an illness, it allows people to be back at work and to have a long working career and to take care of their families.
Absolutely. Something else that I've noticed, and this is again from a perspective as a pediatrician, is parents that have insurance for their kids sometimes are able to swing having one parent be at home taking care of those kids. And that can make a huge difference in the life of a family. Karen, what are other issues that you have seen families that are on Medicaid? And I do want to mention one thing that I've seen, which is very recently, and this is a perennial struggle that people with regular insurance don't always have, which is if they have a change of address or a little change in living circumstances. A lot of folks with themselves or their children or their families on Medicaid sometimes have less stability with their living situations from finances and things like that. Unfortunately, unexpectedly losing access to their insurance is sometimes still a major issue for our families that are on Medicaid. There seems like to be an inherent instability sometimes with those programs.
So yes, let me answer your question. With employer-based insurance, it's time for re-enrollment. It's time for your yearly re-enrollment. You get online or you have a form and you click a couple of boxes that you want to continue your insurance and send it off and it's done. Medicaid is not that way. You have to prove that you qualify for it. And sometimes you have to prove that you qualify every 6 months. So think about doing your taxes and all of the information that you have to get together, that you have to gather to do your taxes. It is like doing that, at least as detailed as doing that when you are applying for Medicaid.
And sometimes unexpectedly.
And a lot of these families are young. So the taxes that they file for are like the easy forms. Medicaid is like filing the 1040 with all of the attachments. It's all the hard stuff. And they have to do that twice a year. And like Jack said, if they've moved, maybe they've lost some of that information.
Or maybe they got a letter that they didn't, you know, they got sent a letter they didn't get.
Yeah. Missouri had a really bad thing where they had a computer glitch that like kicked over 100,000 people, 140,000 people off of the Medicaid rolls all at once.
Well, they hadn't verified folks for a while and they had to play catch up. But
they didn't. It took a long time.
Some people find out they don't have Medicaid when they're checking in for their doctor's appointment. In fact, that's the most common way. They bring their card in and imagine coming and totally expecting to be able to pay for a doctor's visit and just unexpectedly finding you don't have insurance. That happens all the time.
Not infrequently. So let's wrap up by talking about where our pretty good parents should go to get help with insurance. The new rescue plan that was recently passed by Congress is increasing coverage, and folks who didn't qualify for insurance help through the exchanges may now qualify. And that started on April 1st, and you can go to the website healthcare.gov to find out about it, or you can call the Marketplace Call Center, 1-800-318-2596. That's a 24-hour line. It is an automated line, and sometimes you do have to wait a while to get to the place where you punch in your information. Because of COVID-19, the special enrollment period is going to stay open through summer. Most of the time when people could get on the exchanges, it would be like a November to January thing. So this is an extended time period. There are many independent insurance agents who are trained to help with the Affordable Care Act. And honestly, we've had really good luck in our community. They have been fantastic to help people to find some really good plans. They tend to do a lot of legwork. Like if you're on a lot of medications, sometimes they will search through each medication and look at several different plans to find out which one covers your medications better. So honestly, I would encourage you to talk to an independent insurance agent in your community. I would check like every 6 months because sometimes your circumstances change just enough to make that possible. But those independent agents, we have found them to be invaluable in helping our patients. If you are in the state of Missouri, Missouri did pass Medicaid expansion, and that will go into effect on July 1st. So again, if you check now and you are told that you don't qualify, check again in July. Under the expansion, adults, so single adults making up to $18,000 per year will qualify. A family of three making under $30,000 a year will qualify. To sign up for Missouri Medicaid, go to MyDSS, so that's MyDSS.mo.gov, or call Monday through Friday, so those are like business hours, it's not a 24-hour line, at 855-373-4636 to get help. Your children may qualify already, and your whole family may qualify after July 1st if you live in the state of Missouri.
Great information.
Yeah. So, Jack, it's time for What's in Your Book Bag. And I know you're very excited about this book because you told me.
I'm excited about my book because I have such warm memories, and it's one of those books that I read over and over as a child. I don't think I read this book to our kids. I think it's a great book for a child that's reading, or it could be a book that you read to your kids, and it's called Farmer Boy by Laura Ingalls Wilder. It's my favorite Laura Ingalls Wilder book, and maybe because as a young boy, I imagine myself being on the farm, and my first thing that I wanted to be when I was a little child, I wanted to be a milkman farmer. We have a lot of dairy industry in Missouri, and I'm really proud that that's a part of my community, and I'm proud to know some. But that was my first job I wanted when I was a young child, and I imagine myself on a farm working in the ice house and doing different things as a farmer boy.
So did you ever think that you would grow up and live 30 miles away from where Laura Ingalls Wilder lived?
No, I didn't. I think that's pretty exciting, and it's pretty neat to see that plight, that location.
Yep. If you're from around here, a trip down to Mansfield is a great way to spend the day with your kids. The book that is in my book bag is by an author named Kate Klise, Klise. And she also has a connection to the Ozarks because she lives here at least part of the year. She has written a lot of books, both children and young adult books. And the one that is in my book bag is called Stand Straight, Ella Kate. And she came to our kids' school and gave an author talk. Our schools are pretty good about that. So our kids got to meet her and they just thought she was really cool. So the book is Stand Straight, Ella Kate.
And I don't remember that, but that's really neat to know.
Yeah.
I've forgotten that she'd come. So we hope that you pretty good parents have enjoyed learning with us today about Medicaid insurance and how you might get help for your kids and maybe your family. A special thank you to the Missouri Rural Crisis Center and their encouragement to share our stories about rural healthcare. We appreciate their support of farming families and rural families. Our next show will be in 2 weeks, so be sure and follow on our website, prettygoodparents.com, on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Send us a message through our website with suggestions of future topics. We really need it. Please leave a review on iTunes or other podcast apps. Or better yet, tell a fellow parent about our show. It will really help us grow. Thank you to Mercy Kids for all your help and support. And remember, no one can be a perfect parent. But with love for our kids and love for ourselves, we can all be pretty good at parenting.